Welcome to the February 20th, 2020 meeting of the Highlands Council. Call to order.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Doherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Haltaway. Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Ritchko.
Here.
Michael Sabatich.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Voden.
Here.
Robert Wong.
Here.
Open Public Meetings Act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our next item is the approval of Highlands Council minutes of January 16, 2020. Need a motion? Moved by Councilmember James, seconded by Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Any discussion? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. I think someone will go. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway. Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
I wasn't here, but I'll say yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ritchko.
Yes. Our next item is the approval of Highlands Council Executive Session minutes from January 16, 2020. Need a motion and a second?
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Walton, seconded by Councilmember Francis. Any discussion? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yeah, again, I wasn't here, but I'll say yes.
Councilmember Vizioli. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ritchko.
Yes. We're down to the chair's report, and first of all, I'd like to introduce somebody that's in the audience that may be sitting up here soon. We don't know how soon, but it's Winifred Hines. Winifred, would you just kind of wave to everybody? She's been nominated, and I told her before that if we didn't have a quorum, that she'd have to come up here and be a council member in training. We also, I don't know if she's here or not, Stephanie Brown? Okay, I will introduce her when she arrives. Stephanie is from the Governor's Authorities Unit, and when she arrives, I will introduce her. I have some really good news. We were notified recently that we will be receiving, the Highlands Council will be receiving $937,000 of federal funds through the Highlands Conservation Act for land preservation. It's almost $1 million, and we're very, very happy about that. And I would like to thank two staff members, especially who worked directly on this, Drew Siglin and Carol Ann Dickton. They're both here, and I think Carolyn's here. Thank you. And also they received assistance from Carrie Green and Alex Hashka. So congratulations, and thank you for that work on that. And we hope that we'll be able to use that money to preserve some really good land here in the Highlands. On a sad note, Drew will be leaving us at the end of the month. Drew is sitting there, and for the past 4 years, he's been the Open Space and TDR Coordinator. He's accepted a position with the Alliance for the Chesapeake Bay as their Chief Operating Officer. So I think that's it. It's quite a commute for you down to Chesapeake Bay. We thank you for your 4 years with us, and we really wish you the best. That sounds like a great opportunity.
Thank you.
All right. So we now move on to the Executive Director's Report. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So under our climate initiative update, as you may have seen, in coordination with the release of New Jersey's new energy master plan, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection was directed to identify and update their regulations to integrate climate change considerations through an administrative order, creating an entity called NJPACT, which stands for Protecting Against Climate Threats. The Highlands Council is included as a stakeholder in this process and attended an interagency meeting earlier this week where we reminded the group that climate change concerns are not just coastal. So I think our role continues to be reminding them that not all climate concerns are along the shoreline. In terms of the HABS update, Highlands staff attended a harmful algal bloom HABS summit hosted by the DEP on January 28th, where we saw Member Francis. And we had an opportunity to continue to provide literature and information regarding the Highlands Council's grant programs available to municipalities to assist them with planning for HAB prevention. Under plan conformance updates, we got some good news that came in after my report went out last Friday. The borough of Netcong voted last week to apply for an initial assessment grant to explore the possibility of conforming with the regional master plan. And as you may know, Netcong is 100% in the planning area, and we're very much looking forward to working with them in moving this process forward. Under municipal and county implementation activities, for Highbridge Borough, affordable housing ordinances were certified as conforming to the regional master plan. For Lebanon Township, stormwater management planning scope of work was approved. And for Lebanon Borough, we approved a stream corridor restoration plan scope of work. And finally, for Tewksbury Township, their wastewater management plan was deemed consistent with the regional master plan. Regarding municipally issued exemptions, we received notification of the following. Washington Township in Morris County issued 6 exemption number 5s. Chester Township, Morris County, issued 38 exemption number 5s and 1 exemption number 4. Under project review updates, we've completed 2 water quality management plan amendment reviews, one in West Milford for the expansion of an existing strip mall, and the other in Denville for the construction of an industrial building for office, manufacturing, and warehouse use. Under TDR and HDC updates, since my prior report, 1 HDC easement has been recorded and 1 allocation reconsideration has been completed. And specifically in Independence Township in Warren County, 30.25 HDCs were certified and purchased by the HDC bank for $484,000. For the reconsideration, 16.19 acres of a residential property in Bloomingdale Borough, Passaic County, had their HDC allocation revised from 12.5 HDCs to 19.75 HDCs. And lastly, under personnel updates, I would ask you to join me in welcoming 2 new staff members and saying goodbye to another. Gabrielle Gallagher, recently joined Highlands Council staff as our new senior counsel. And some of you may know Gabrielle is a highly qualified attorney with extensive public sector experience. She served as the Director of Legal and Regulatory Affairs at the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs, where she handled a multitude of litigation, contractual, and personnel matters. And most recently, Gabrielle served as the Deputy Executive Director for the Department of Banking and Insurance, overseeing administrative and enforcement actions, and also managing emergency planning and business continuity for the department. So we're lucky to have her. And in addition, Karen Canstanis, there we go, over there in the gold, joined us just 2 weeks ago as our new administrative assistant. Karen is a great addition to the council's team. She has very strong administrative background with extensive computer and excellent customer service skills. So we're very pleased to have Karen join us. And then as you heard from the chairman, we are sorry that Drew will be leaving us. You know, but it's a tremendous opportunity Drew has done a lot of work on land preservation for the council, and I just wanted to pause and recognize that. He's been instrumental in our preservation of over 5,000 acres in the Highlands region. So it's a loss, there's no doubt, but it's a great opportunity for Drew, as the chairman said. And so we applaud this new opportunity for Drew. We have posted his position, and applications are being accepted through February 28th. And then lastly, the next council meeting is scheduled for March 19th. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we have a consideration of a resolution. This is the creation of an agricultural advisory committee. This is a voting matter with public comment, and our vice chair is going to introduce this to us.
Yes, thank you. Just a little bit of background. You might think it might be natural for me to introduce this because my career is farming, but perhaps you'd find some interest in knowing how I became a member of the council, and it really is connected to my career. Back when the Highlands Act was being deliberated in the legislature and with the governor, Governor McGreevy was governor at the time, agriculture, the industry in the area had, as you might expect, some concerns about the legislation that was being drafted. How would it impact the industry? What would happen? How would agriculture be treated? So there was a working group put together through then Secretary of Agriculture Charlie Caparis and members of each of the boards of agriculture in the seven counties that are included in the Highlands region. And through it, a lot of work was done. This parallel track that agriculture has today in the Act came out through the actions of this committee. And then ultimately, we had a conference call one day with Governor McGreevy, and I was out in Pennsylvania buying tractor parts or something, sitting in my pickup truck participating. He was very considerate and attentive. It was about an hour and a half long. And through the course of this conversation with the governor, he agreed that he made a promise that one of the public members that he appointed to the council would be a farmer. And so then ultimately, somehow I became fielded and vetted and became that public member 15 years ago now and have been here. So since that time, I think we are on to, five governors. And while I'm here now, I may have some expertise to share. I may not always be here, and we don't know that a future governor will always appoint a public member with agricultural expertise. It's not a requirement. So I think that it's appropriate for us to be thinking about the industry and for the council to have expertise available to them from people that serve in the industry. And that's why through the creation of the master plan and through the work that we've done in the master plan review, we identified as one of our goals the creation of an agricultural advisory committee. We've actually been working on this for years, and we finally got all the appropriate reviews and approval through government authorities unit, and we're here today to be able to propose this resolution. So the master plan and the Act recognizes that agriculture is an important part of the Highlands region. It recognizes and affirms that we want to not only maintain the industry, but also enhance the industry. And through the regional master plan, we seek to implement policies that will enhance the industry. And as one of those policies now, we create this advisory team. So just some quick background. Some of the things that we would be seeking from this committee would be input on the protection and enhancement of ag sustainability and viability of the ag industry within the region, identifying the status of farming in the region, looking at different trends in farming, different commodities, different size operations, how much total land is in ag production, the types of products that are being raised, and where these products are being sold and how. Identifying different opportunities to support the industry, including the integration of the industry into other aspects of the economy within the region and outside of the region, and also investigating recommendations that the committee might bring to the council for us to consider as we work towards sustainable economic development within the region. So establishing this committee again would help us fulfill our obligation to enhance and support the industry. We have a resolution today that outlines how this committee will be created. Our chair is vested with the authority to make appointments to committees. The committee will be open to interested Highlands Council members. We just can't exceed a quorum. And then there would be other public members, other members of the public with agricultural expertise that would be vetted and appointed ultimately. And I think that our intention and our goal is to find members of the ag community from different counties, different types of operations, different size operations, different types of commodities. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to introduce this resolution to the council for their approval.
Okay, so let's go ahead and have a motion and a second.
Motion.
Moved by Councilmember Bowden, seconded by Councilmember James. But before we do vote, is there any council members have any questions for Kurt or for the staff? Does staff have anything to add to Kurt's introduction?
I think Kurt covered it all.
Right, so we're good on that. Any other questions for the council? I mean, for Kurt or no? Okay. This is a voting matter with public participation. So anyone from the public would like to address the council on this resolution only. Anyone? Okay. Ms. Post?
Deborah Post, my name is Deborah Post, Chester Township, Harmed Highlands landowner. I would like to nominate myself for this committee. According to the USDA statistics, I believe I own the largest solely female owned and operated farm in New Jersey. It is a pick your own apple orchard, better known as Ryamede Farm. I think if you care about diversity, then I'm a good candidate. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Mr. Klum.
I agree wholeheartedly with Kurt, but I was one of the fellows that was down in Trenton when Charlie Caparis had the opportunity to find some money for us. And when he was questioned by the Senate down there, this is a matter of record too, his question was, as long as the farmers can farm their land, they'll be all right. Well, that's true. We can still farm. But number one, we lost our equity, and it's really tough trying to make a living in New Jersey off a farm. And I've been farming all my life. I'd like to help you a little bit with your program there, Kurt. So what can I say? You had the good fortune of talking to McGreevy. I did not. But matter of fact, there was another guy here with Charlie Caparis, Romano, I think I see him.
Greg Romano.
Yeah, Greg Romano. So, but I'm 100% in favor of it. Maybe the Agriculture Committee can find some monies. I mean, we just got how much? Almost $1 million. That just about, one of the questions that I brought up and I was talking earlier is it's so hard to find the money in New Jersey, but most farmers would take something on a pay me over years rather than a bulk, you know what I mean? So it keeps you going. I mean, when you lose your equity, you've lost everything. You can't borrow any money. And it's, that's the biggest problem that we face. So, but I'm all in favor of this, Kurt.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? And Mr. Schiller.
My name is David Shope. I own a farm in Lebanon Township since 1975. I've introduced this letter before. This is a letter addressed to Bob Tucker, who owned, who he since has died, two 350-acre horse farms in, I believe that's the acreage, in Lebanon Township. And this is from First Pioneer Farm Credit. When Lebanon Township was going through its own down zoning fit, led by Eileen Swan, a former executive director here, and Dan Van Abs from the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. And this letter addresses from First Pioneer Farm Credit when Bob Tucker asked what would happen when equity is damaged. This is a letter, I've given it to you before, I'll give it to you again, because you have a habit of losing things here. Like the forestry report from way back, and you generated your own. And also in the past, this is dated February 16th, 2016. This was a letter addressed to Judge Dressler and Rob Walton concerning the economic viability of farming, and I use these statistics from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They do a survey every 5 years, and this is the result of it. And I've submitted to you to this in the past. As a matter of fact, I asked former chairman Jim Riley to make copies and distribute it. It was available out on the table not too long ago. You have this too. You have the fact, for instance, that Sussex County and let's see what this is. The earning per acre in Sussex County was -$1,214. And Passaic, it was -$3,637. In Hunterdon, it was -$1,070. Other counties fared better that particular year, but the status of agriculture in New Jersey has earnings per acre, which is a good measure of the unit value of anything in terms of return on equity, has been declining for decades, and it's a matter of record.
Mr. Schoke, it's been 3 minutes already, so you know, please conclude.
Well, I don't see any clock up there.
We have it right here. Please conclude.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Let me make a statement. The word maintenance means maintain at present status. It's a part of your resolution. I would expect that there's no room for maintaining or increasing economic of land, and when you change land use, you diminish. Well, we'll get into that later on. That's your next resolution.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution?
Put the time up there.
Okay, seeing none, any other questions or comments from the council? Please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wolf.
Yes.
Chair Ritchko.
Yes. Kurt, thank you for your work on this.
Staff as well put a lot of effort into it.
Okay, we move on to the Audit Committee. This committee chair is Walton. This is a resolution, the acceptance of the audit report. This is a voting matter with public participation.
So once again, we had a clean audit from our auditor. We met as a committee to discuss the audit with the auditor. Nothing of substance was discussed. There was nothing wrong with the way the books were kept. You can have issue with whether or not we should be spending money on any of this, but however the council has decided to spend money is exactly how we've spent it. So with that, I recommend that the full council approve the audit.
Okay. And we need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Councilmember Walton, seconded by Councilmember James. I see Ron Jay in the back smiling, so he's happy about the audit report. Any discussion? Okay, let's have any participation from the public. Anyone like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ritchko.
Yes. I do want to recognize someone who did come in. I mentioned her before. It's Stephanie Brown. Stephanie, that's you, right? Okay. I haven't met you. Stephanie is from the Governor's Authorities Unit. She'll be with us for the next couple of months while Lauren LaRusso is on parental leave. We look forward to working with you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
All right, we are now on the Budget and Finance Committee. Unfortunately, Committee Chair Goldway is not with us today, so I'm going to do a little introduction on this resolution. This is a resolution, it's an award of...
Hey, Mr.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Chairman, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is an award of a contract to conduct an evaluation and field test of the Draft Highlands Regional Functional Ecosystem Valuation Model and Forest Conservation Guidance. I'm going to give a little introduction and then we will have a presentation from the staff. The Budget and Finance Committee...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yes, Mr.
Chairman?
Yes.
If I might, I'd like to intervene and give just a public and the council an overview of this with your permission.
Okay, we weren't sure that you were going to be on the phone, so I was going to give the talking points, but you certainly can because you were the one that was designated after Council Member Haltaway. So please go ahead and give the talking points. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we all are aware, the Budget and Finance Committee met on February the 6th, and the purpose was to review the award of a contract for the Functional Ecosystem Valuation Methodology, or the FEV. The committee voted 100% to move it forward to the entire council for review and approval. Let us remember that the one part of the regional master plan goal is to no net loss of resources. One of the challenges is that without a means of valuing the different resources mitigation, it can be ineffective and inaccurate at best. The consultants, in our opinion, have drafted some methodology which now needs to be field tested. Is Christine Pataglia in attendance?
Yes, she is.
Who is our... Yes, okay. She's our resource management specialist. And after I'm done here, she can present an overview for us to consider the award. However, However, I urge the council to vote the affirmative yes, a strong yes. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Christine and for this overview to the council and to the public. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Councilmember Vizzioli. Christina, you're on. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Vizzioli, Chairman Richgau. Can everyone hear me okay? Is this good? Is this loud enough? Okay, great. So that we all know, a main objective, thank you, objective of the Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan is the protection of natural resources, including forest and critical habitat, with a particular emphasis on no net loss of habitat values. In the Act, or in the RMP, there is no specific instruction for how to objectively quantitate how habitat has been lost or gained within the Highlands region. This is because a direct acre-to-acre ratio does not result in the same quality of habitat. For example, you could have 10 acres of forest that has high biodiversity and no fragmentation, and therefore could be considered a high-quality forest. But on the other end of the spectrum, you could have 10 acres of fragmented forest with large amounts of invasive species, and this would generally be considered a low-quality forest. And then, of course, you have varying degrees of quality in between that. If you have 10 acres that are hypothetically being disturbed, how do you make sure that you're staying within that no net loss of habitat value? You must create some sort of standard that provides a level of certainty. In 2013, this council approved the development of a functional ecosystem valuation methodology, which going forward I'll call FEV methodology, that assigns quantitative value to resources to address the particular problem I have just described, which mostly occurs during the mitigation process. Since 2013, this consultant has worked very hard at creating this methodology, and the Highlands Council has received the draft copy of this FEV methodology. The methodology provides the framework for creating an objective measurement of any size property and its resources. For example, now you can have a 10-acre property that has an FEV of 3, which is that low-quality forest I described earlier, and you could have a different 10-acre property with an FEV of 10, which would be kind of considered that higher-quality forest. The methodology used in both cases is the same. It is irrefutable, and it is transparent to anyone who wants to determine the quality of their habitat, and they can use this methodology for that. This methodology, this FEV methodology, was created from scratch, so to speak. It is currently not being used anywhere. Part of the rigor in making sure that this FEV methodology is successful and accurate is having a third party peer review the assumptions that are made, making sure that the FEV methodology is replicable and that in a real world field scenario, there are no glaring issues that can make the methodology refutable. Knowing that this methodology was in the works, it was recommended in the Monitoring Program Recommendation Report, or MPRR, that it be verified and field tested as part of a way to determine forest impacts specific to mitigation needs. So our award recommendation is to Applied Ecological Services, who I will refer to as AES going forward. They were one of two consultants who provided proposals to us. We're recommending their award for the evaluation and field testing of the FEV methodology. The AES team is a multifaceted team consisting of ecologists, biologists, a GIS professional, and an environmental economist. In our request for proposals, we asked for a minimum of 3 sites. AES came back to us in their proposal with a minimum of 9 sites. They proposed 3 field sites in the preservation area, 3 in the planning area, and 3 that buffers a little bit of both areas. Having 9 sites gives the firm flexibility to determine a control measure or measures when they're testing the methodology for objectivity. During their field testing, they will be using a GIS application tool that will give not only their team real-time updates about conditions and resources in the field, but that data can simultaneously be sent to the Highlands Council. So, for example, when they're in the field, as they see flora and fauna in that particular field test site, that data will be streamed to us immediately, as well as to them, so we can see what it looks like. The team will choose targeted field test dates to account for seasonal flora and fauna species expected to be found on the 9 sites that they have chosen. So they've made sure to really target their field testing, which helps cut down on budget. The project award for the evaluation and field testing is $55,769, which is below what we had originally cut out in the budget, and it is expected to be completed in 12 to 18 months. And that's all I've got for you.
Thank you. Excellent presentation. Thank you, Christine. Any council members have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Have these nine sites been determined yet, or are they going to be determined?
They will be determined. They'll be determined after the evaluation of the methodology has been completed, and they use GIS to model the best sites to do the testing.
And before they do these sites, will they let you know where these nine sites are, and then you have to okay them?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be in constant contact with them throughout the entire process.
All right. And where is Applied Ecological Services located?
It's actually a team of professionals who's located some in New Jersey, some in the Philadelphia region, and then sort of their traveling biologist goes all over the country. He's a PhD specialist.
So they have a track record for something like this?
Very much so. They've done a lot of work in this area. Their team is very familiar with the Highlands region specifically. And the references that we contacted who have done similar work had nothing but glowing reviews for them.
So you've vetted them?
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Council Member Bowman.
I have a few questions, but I'd like to preface it with a couple comments. We're talking about no net loss, 1-to-1 acre mitigation, which I don't think we have now in the Highlands. I know the state has a, New Jersey has a no net loss reforestation act. It's a mitigation program on state owned lands. If forested area is clear cut or destroyed, you have to replace that with a mitigation program similar to the wetlands, but this is only on state property. Where you have to replant trees on an area on that property. If there is no area, you can pay for an area off-site, or you can purchase an area off-site to mitigate the damaged forest land. My question is, what are we going to do with this information when we do get the different classifications of this forest land? Is this going to turn into a mitigation program? And I'd like to express my concern, give you a hypothetical scenario here. If a landowner has 80 acres forested, it's one building level. Let's talk small, but 40 acres. The landowner has 40 acres of forested land, prime forested land, group one, and he would like to build a home. Before the Highlands Act, that 40 acres, say 5 acre zone, he had 8 lots. It was worth quite a bit. Now he's got an exemption to build a home on a half acre lot with 25% of an acre impervious surface. So this land has been taken by inverse condemnation. I believe it's a taking. It was an inverse condemnation. He's lost 7 lots, 8 lots. Now, he wants to build, he picked his site, and it's in prime land. Maybe it's to overlook a pond or a scenic view of a valley on top of the mountain, and he's got a clear cut for his land. Now the state is going to come in and say, we took your property, but there is no compensation. The bundle of sticks, you still own a stick. You can build a house there. But you're taking the property, clearing the property, that the state has control of, and we're asking you to go purchase another acre of land on top of the taking, to purchase another acre of land to compensate the state for the land that they've already taken. Is that where we're going with this? Is this going to be a mitigation problem?
Is that your question?
That's my question.
It wasn't coming. So the situation you discussed, that property would be exempt from the Highlands Act and therefore exempt from any of these requirements or any of this methodology. But there are projects that aren't exempt from the Highlands Act. projects in the planning area, projects in the preservation area that by statute have to come to the Highlands Council for review. The RMP contains a policy of no net loss. The adopted RMP contains a policy of no net loss of habitat. Right now, there's no measure of that no net loss. So somebody coming in for a project review is basically subject to the whims of the reviewer and has no idea up front on how to address that no net loss of habitat value. So if somebody comes in for a project that by statute is required to be reviewed by the Highlands Council and required by the RMP to establish no net loss, nobody knows, no applicant can know ahead of time how to do that. What this methodology will do will provide an objective, straightforward, transparent method for an applicant to know what they will need to do to address the requirements of the RMP.
So
that is 100% correct.
Okay. So the landowner I'm talking about now has sold his property. So the new owner didn't own at the time the act was passed.
Speaking to the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Mike. He does not have an exemption. So is he going to have to go through a mitigation?
Again, if he didn't own the property at the time of the act, he can still qualify for an exemption. He just has limitations on the amount of disturbance he can make on the lot, but that lot still qualifies for an exemption.
And if that's for the half acre. So now the guy's putting his house on a mountaintop, and he's got a 400-foot driveway. He's already up to an acre. So there is no exemption.
So then he would be required by the Highlands Act and the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection's Highlands Rules to mitigate for that disturbance.
So he may so have that, to buy an acre land. I have no on this.
That requirement.
My question.
Yeah. I mean, that requirement exists today. This methodology doesn't impose any additional requirements. It simply provides guidance, fair and equal guidance to everybody to know ahead of time what that mitigation will be required. The mitigation requirement exists today by regulation. This provides guidance on how to mitigate it.
Where is the mitigation shown for forested land? I know the state, for state-owned lands, has a mitigation program. I can't find anything in the Highlands Act or rules and regulations where it says that the Highlands can require mitigation.
Well, we require no net loss of resources.
But that doesn't mention mitigation.
Well, to get
it will now when we get these three different.
To get to no net loss, you can either minimize, avoid, or mitigate. Those are the three ways to get to no net loss.
Does it say that in the rules? In the regulation? I couldn't find it.
The Act speaks.
I'm sorry, Mike.
The RMP speaks to that, yes.
It's the same mitigation.
Yes.
It's not changing any of the rules or regulations in this resolution. It's just it's something that gives guidance. And give guidance to people that, you know, want to develop their land.
Sorry if I may.
Whether they are we gonna go, is this gonna evolve? This is my fear. This is gonna evolve into a wetlands, a 2-for-1, and there have been cases 3-for-1 where we have a mitigation bank where somebody's property is taken and then they got to go buy 3 more acres because they needed an area to fill for a septic system.
If I may address your concern, Councilman Verboten. The idea behind the FEV methodology is actually to make it more fair for people who have to mitigate, no matter what, whether or not the methodology is adopted or tested. They will still have to mitigate. What we're actually trying to do is make sure that mitigation is fair for those project applicants. Sometimes they don't mitigate enough, but to your point, sometimes they end up mitigating too much because there is no objective standard for them to currently follow. However, we're trying to change that because, again, to your point, that is unfair. What if you over-mitigate, right? This provides a very transparent and clear way for people to know exactly where they stand in that mitigation. And I would also just like to reiterate and make clear that the methodology has been created and we are just asking to field test the methodology currently.
Mr. Chairman, I just like to say I will be voting yes because of the fairness, but the overall program with the mitigation, I don't think is fair, and I would like to see where that is spelled out in the act.
Okay.
Okay, well, certainly the staff will work with you on that and provide the information that you're looking for. Councilmember Walton.
Sure. So Rich is just scratching the surface of the problems with this. One, this is not in the law. This is a choice that the council made in its adoption of the regional master plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The regional master plan is long past its date of reexamination, also correct, yes?
Well, we just went through the MPRR process, and that was the reexamination.
Which contains the recommendation for this field test.
But there was we began a reexamination, a complete reexamination of the master plan, took comments, all that stuff, correct? And that kind of got sidetracked long ago.
The monitoring program and recommendations report is considered the review of an update of the master plan.
There was, but we began an effort to do a new regional master plan, did we not? And that got...
That was the MPRR process, yes.
So, if you want two opinions, ask one economist, is something that's often said. So, the, I'm glad you're laughing, Lisa, but this process, which is, this is not what we're discussing, what we're approving today, but the process that was started in 2013 presumes to be able to quantify the value of these parcels of land, the acre of beautiful forest and the acre of not so good forest, right? And it presumes that we can quantify exactly what the ecological value is, what the economical value is, and therefore we can calculate, I think your words were irrefutably, how much that is worth. And what we're now doing is testing whether or not this irrefutable process is in fact irrefutable, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And then should we find that this, after 12 to 18 months and 55,000 of the taxpayers' dollars, we find that this methodology is irrefutable, as Richie pointed out, we're going to be using this to create a mitigation program whereby if someone does X units of damage, they're going to have to mitigate X units of improvement somewhere else. That's sort of the long-term goal of this, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, and it could be on their own site.
Fair enough, understood. Okay. Yeah, the state already does this with Green Acres, so if you have Green Acres land in your municipality and you wish to disturb that Green Acres, you now have to go 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 in some, you know, hopefully we won't go that route, but there's already programs, as Rich pointed out, that require this. I guess my concern is just the whole notion of being able to, one, come up with this methodology, and two, this firm is going to confirm it. It just seems it is beyond the realm of man to computate these values. But we're going to sure give it a good try because in our hubris, we think we can quantify all this stuff. I have a hard time supporting this other than Mr. Zioli's support of it, which I take him at faith that this is the best firm to do the job, but I'm not sure this is a job worth doing. And Chris, you're not the answer to that question, Christine. That's a comment, it's not a question.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions for the staff? Yes.
Yes, I wanted to say how I'm very supportive of this evaluation, because when we decided that we wanted to create a functional ecosystem evaluation method, we really didn't know how it would play out in the field. And all the time, these types of analyses are done, they're put together, but they're never really tested on the ground before people try to start using them. So I think this evaluation, going out and field testing, is not so much to confirm the methodology as being correct, but to find out if it does work. And I think that kind of test is very unusual in government. I think it's what we need to do in order to make sure the methods that we're using are reliable. And I think it does provide that transparency and fairness that we really don't have at this moment. I've been uncomfortable many times when we have voted as a council, and I may have voted against it because I did not feel that what was happening in terms of protecting no net loss as our standard and the protection of our forest resources was being adequately met. So I think this will help us be more accurate. We're not doing anything new. We're not creating a mitigation bank. We're not creating anything new. We're following what the Act and the RMP says we're supposed to be doing, but we're doing it in a more fair and level way. So I think this is a great step forward. I'm very impressed by the application, and I think, you know, in 18 months we'll have a better assessment of how this kind of an evaluation works better than the state does, because they're casting about right now throughout the state, through DEP, for instance, to figure out how do you actually measure these things. And we're really on the cutting edge here, and it can be replicated throughout the state through the DEP's program. So I think this is a great step forward.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions for the staff? Question? Council Member Savatich.
I understand that this application is on the website now. Is it on the website?
The FEV? This is about awarding a contract to a company that will field test the draft methodology. I do not believe that methodology has been released to the public.
No, it's not public yet. Yeah.
Okay. The names of the ecologists and wildlife biologists, are they available or not available?
Yeah, I can tell you the John Larson, he's the PhD biologist, ecologist who will be working on the project. And then, I'm sorry, I don't have the first name, but Ms. Schaefer, she has her Master's of Science in Environmental Economics and Agriculture and Natural Resources from University of Arizona. And then the biologists all have their various Masters in Ecology, Biology, and Environmental Science from Penn State, University of Pennsylvania, and I cannot remember the third one, okay. I'm so sorry.
Is that on the website, what you just told me?
No, that has not been posted to the website.
But if I wanted to get that from you, I could.
I could very much give that to you.
I would request that.
Yes, sir.
If you sent it to me. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, a question following up on Mike's question. I thought I read that the methodology was subject to a non-disclosure agreement.
It is. We cannot post the methodology until it has been field tested for obvious reasons.
So it's a draft methodology.
Sorry,
which is very important, because
that's very silly.
No, well, you can have your opinion. I can have mine.
Fair enough. So another question.
Council Member Wolf.
So I appreciate Tracy's thoroughness. My neighbor to the south, Hunter, didn't just enlighten me on something that I was not aware of. The methodology that we're going to use to test this is we're agreeing not to disclose it.
We cannot until it's been tested and it's finalized, because of the nature of the methodology being so new, and because it's from scratch, due to the work that the consultant has put in, if we made it public, it would be...
So this is the consultant's methodology that we cannot make public. They're going to come in and they're going to look at these 9 plots of land. They're going to...
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mislead you. When we posted the RFP, all of the people who wanted to give us a proposal, they've seen the methodology. They know what the methodology looks like. They had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and so they based their proposals completely off of what the draft methodology stated.
So in 2013, we went down this road to get a methodology to calculate the value of these parcels. That methodology is not a public record?
It's still in draft form.
Yeah, it's a draft.
So we are calling it draft to avoid, well, that's pejorative. It is in draft form and therefore is not a public record, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And at what point, how long can a government agency label something as draft so as to not have it become a public record?
Once this review is finished, it then becomes public methodology. Is that correct?
But yes.
Yes.
Okay. If I...
Because it's not yet finalized.
If I'm hired by the state and I develop a plan and I submit that plan to that state agency, that becomes public even if nobody's looked at it and tested it. So again, that's why, how does this firm's test of our methodology blanket it with protection from being a public record?
If I may?
Yeah, please.
So the example that you raise of a consultant, you know, the Highlands Council engages the services of a consultant to draft a document. While that document is under review by the agency, it is not a public document. And it
Understood.
Would not necessarily be. So that is the status of the FEV methodology right now. What we have is a draft methodology, and what we're doing with this contract is engaging the services of an independent third party to test and validate the methodology. Based on that validation process, there may be additional changes that are made to the methodology itself. And once we get to the point where that methodology is, we consider final, it will be made available to the public.
For comment.
Why would we not make it? We're spending $55,000 to get somebody to test our formula. We could put it up on the website tomorrow and have it tested for free. So why wouldn't we disclose this?
Because we want to understand the qualifications of the people that are doing the field testing.
Okay, but does that give you permission to keep something from the public because you want to test somebody else's qualifications?
It's good.
Part of it is the reason that it's draft and it needs to be tested is this is all sort of part of the scientific method and making sure that it is robust and as irrefutable as possible. And to your point, right, if you ask two economists, they give you two different answers, right?
Just one economist can give you two answers.
Or I'm sorry, yeah. So making sure that we have an as objective third party reviewing this as possible, that was why we asked for consultants.
This is trouble. Chairman, this is troublesome because in the time that you and I both sat here, this council has been accused of hiding things, losing things, doing all sorts of nefarious stuff, 99% of which is wrong. It's nonsense. And now we're doing it, and it only feeds to reinforce the concerns that people raise about secrecy and losing documents and things. The purpose to hide this formula is not.
I
understand why it may be in the interest of the council to do it, but it's sure not in the interest of the public to do it.
I don't see that point at all. But Christina, would you?
Well, I think that the process that we're going through now can be equated to the peer review that a university study would go through before it is presented to the public. This step is a peer review.
To your point,
process.
Peer review documents are published in journals and then they are reviewed by peers.
Generally,
so
after they've been peer reviewed.
Not before.
Yeah. No, that's not always the case. But also, they're not a public entity paying with taxpayer dollars like, as we are, making public policy. So.
All right. We do need a motion and a second on this resolution.
We already have a motion and a second, Chairman.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Moved by Council Member Vizioli, seconded by Council Member Coluccio. And we will, that's why I asked for a motion and a second so that I can open it up for a public comment. All right. And then we'll have, do we have anything else from the council
before?
An experiment?
Yeah.
It's not an experiment.
Translated into English. My question is, will this help the council make more informed decisions? And if it does, I'm trying to translate everything I just heard.
I think you hit it on the head there. It will give us a better idea of what we're doing, as Tracy pointed out before, and also for people that have property and they want to do something with it, and
the process itself has never been done before, so we can't really talk about
not
it much
the process,
in public because
I wouldn't say
done.
Process, I would say the methodology.
Well, that's a process.
But, yeah, well.
We don't have any rules, so when we publish the rules and the method that we're going to use, then it's discoverable, first of all, and second of all, we don't have anything in place right now. So you may go and get treated one way, I go get treated a different way, he gets treated a different way, and that's unfair.
It's not just to help the
I don't have a problem with the intention of what we're doing.
Right, but the residents also.
But our process of what we're doing with the RFPs, and I'm hearing, well, we're going to do something, but we can't let anybody know how we're doing it. Did I miss something?
No, that's about right.
Mr. Chairman, it's
a draft, incomplete work product. All of it will be made public when it's before it's finalized. It'll be presented to the council. The peer review will be presented to the council. But before that's done, it needs to be put in a form that's final. That this process of the peer review itself is likely going to make changes to the draft document. So that's why it's not made public, because it's a draft. It's an incomplete draft, just like many things the council works on. The draft MPRR, they're reviewed by the council and put in a final form before they're made available to the public to comment on. But they're not finalized until after the public has had a chance to review them. So in this case, it's a draft incomplete product that's not appropriate for outside the council to review at this time until it's been finalized under the contract that was originally awarded in 2013.
Council Member Bowden?
When we get the results of the study, nothing new will be implemented without coming back before this council.
That's correct.
That correct? Okay.
Council Member James, did you
want? No, that's the point. I think we get another bite at this apple, because there's nothing until we actually vote on this, right? So I'm all for making it fair to people, so that if you go and you have an application in to do something, it shouldn't be the whim of whoever is reviewing it. This is our rule. This is what the rule says. You're following the rule, you get it. We don't really get a choice to deny it then. And I think that's fair. And getting there may be difficult, but once we get there, we get a chance to vote on that, whether we're even going to adopt it. Right. So,
all right, Council Member Carluccio.
Just wanted to say one thing to Michael about the process. What they're actually going to be doing in the field test is there's quite a bit of information in the request for a proposal. So I think we do have a better handle on how they're going to actually go out and do that process. It's the methodology that is protected.
Maybe you want to read the RFP, the proposal itself, that went out, because that'll give you some of the information you're looking for.
Okay, I think it's time.
The secrecy part.
Just a quick point of order, Rob. So we control what's in this as a council, right? So as long as I speak into the microphone, we control what's in the regional master plan. And part of the most recent review we did was adopt procedure as a component of the regional master plan to allow for amendments. So if we find that we need to adjust on a policy in here, so long as we do it in a way that's consistent with the act, we're good to go. And correct me if I'm wrong, Christine, but now that we've put enabling language in the regional master plan to allow for amendments, we can initiate amendments at any time, correct? So if we find something objectionable about a policy, and eight of us agree on it, we put it through the process, we vet it through the appropriate committees and staff, and we hear all the input in the public, and then we pass an amendment.
This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone else like to address the council on this resolution only? Mr. Klump.
I'm kind of a common sense fella, but all the evaluations of our land, maybe we should conduct an evaluation of the farmer that owns this land that all these rules are going to affect. My question is, the council is, or whatever this explanation was, if you don't know what land is going to be evaluated, your people that's going to evaluate it can pick any value land that would work for their subject or properties. I don't know if that makes sense to you. You know what I mean? So I'm opposed to spending $55,000. So thanks for letting me speak, but that's this is a real, it's a farce.
Thank you. Anyone else like to
address more ways than one
on this resolution? Mr. Shope.
This is nothing more than value judgment. No net loss of habitat value. If you clear a forest, that forest is lost. It's sort of the critters that live in it. If that forest becomes a field, it is to the benefit of the what grows in the field and the critters that live in the field. You are making value judgments, and you're assigning values to these, which is crazy. Back in 2006, you guys contracted with the University of Vermont to do a natural capital evaluation of the land. And here it is right here. You're going to get that much paper for 55 grand? I don't think so. And here it does, got all kinds of charts and all kinds of wonderful stuff. And I saw in one part of it here where the natural capital of my land is $10,000. $10,000 an acre. So where is it? Come up. Come up with it. Get yourself a copy of this thing. And there was one done before this by Sweet Lisa Jackson when she was chair of the DEP called Evaluating Your Natural Capital. This has been done and done and done. And now you have another opportunity to exercise your preference and assign a value to it, because that's all you're really doing. And back to the resolution that you just passed, which says the Highlands Act also states that the maintenance of agricultural production, which means to me, is to be maintained at the current level, not increased. That's what maintenance means. And then you have this resolution that you're now considering, talking about a whole bunch of other stuff, which will not allow for increased agricultural production. So you have the values of these two resolutions at loggerheads. You need to consider what you're doing as an entity, not piece by piece. That's it for today.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Ms. Post?
Deborah Post, harmed Highlands landowner holding proxies of 80 plus Highlands landowners to speak on their behalf. The two retention resolutions on the table today fill this room with the stench of the Trenton Swamp. One can hear strains of Feed Me Seymour ringing from the Highlands Hills. I hope no one on this council has missed the quid pro quo of hiring extremist environmental consultants. Their job is to ensure that the regulatory pressures and denial of land uses will render the property cared for by those of us who are the real stewards of the environment are so severe that land has no economic beneficial use. The goal is to squash farmers under the heels of lobbyists, most of whom couldn't identify an invasive species if their life depended on it. With agricultural viability and profitability reduced to nil, the well-funded greenie lobbyist groups then have the opportunity to buy up land cheap, which was, of course, always the goal of the Highlands Act. The consultants are being asked to approve today object to farmers having the opportunity to add to agricultural revenues with special events such as birthday parties and other life celebrations. How mean-spirited, and clearly evidencing their anti-farmer mindset. Let us not reward and feed environmental consultants who hate farmers and seek their demise in New Jersey, the Garden State.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Okay, seeing none, any last comments or questions from the council? If not, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
In consideration of fairness, yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Richko?
Yes. Councilmember James has to leave, so thank you for coming. And
yeah, I apologize. I have another meeting at 6 o'clock, but I have to leave. So.
Okay. Any old or new business? Council members, any old or new business? Right. We will now have public comments. Anyone like to address the council? Just a reminder, it is 3 minutes to speak. Anyone else like to, anyone like to address the council at this point? Okay. Mr. Klum, you're the only one with your hand up.
I just put this down. I didn't do it.
I'll just say.
Go ahead, Klum.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilmember Vizioli. Jim Vizioli talking.
With your permission, I'd like to sign off, and I wish everybody well for this evening, and thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your presentation today. Have a good night.
No problem. You're welcome. Have a good evening. Bye-bye now.
Yes, Mr. Klum.
You know, thanks for letting me speak up here. I am a farm landowner in Tewksbury. But, you know, all these suggestions and everything just keeps coming back to the farmers that own this land. And, you know, you heard from three of us here, you know, and we have proximity for 80 other people that have signed on with us, and all farm landowners. But every time you come to these meetings, it seems like there's more environmental stuff that goes on. Nobody's out there trying to help the farmer. Whether we're trying to look for some monies or whatever, it's like Kurt held that book up, and it said, this is what we got. In that book, there's nothing that says we're going to help the farmers get their equity back. We just took it away, politically, and it's never been compensated. So, on that, listen, I'll wish you St. Patty's Day. What can I say? God bless you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council? Mr. Shope.
Back when this act was passed, there was no dedicated source of funding. And that was no accident. It was never intended. And for you to, you're not really doing it. But for anyone to say that this was you will be compensated. Don't worry. Just relax. We're working on it. We're doing this. We're doing that. Baloney. You're not doing a thing. And the reason you're not doing a thing is because it was never intended, and some of you who would like to do something about this can't because there's no mechanism to do so. Our land has become nothing more than the collection surface for the water that goes and is sold by various state-owned water supply authorities to for-profit water supply authorities and companies who are guaranteed a return on equity. They're guaranteed it. When they go in for a rate increase, they know what they're doing, and they know what they can ask for. It's like any other public utility. You are guaranteed a return on equity. Where is our return on equity? Where is the fact that we have lost the value of our land because of this act and other DEP regulations? Where is our return on equity? The answer is there is none, There doesn't have to be, because the state got us where they want us. It's as simple as that. Admit the truth, it'll set you free.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Ms. Post?
Two comments. First, we have been led to believe that at this council meeting there would be some review of the status of the municipal average, the TDR Bank's municipal average committee's progress on utilizing the municipal average for valuations of farmers' equity. We can't seem to get any documents under OPRA. We'd like to know what's happening. The TDR Bank keeps canceling its meetings. We're not even allowed to attend the committee's deliberations. So I ask this committee to again focus on the fact that you were directed to, by both the Board of Ag and other resolutions, to consider the municipal average in valuing land equity. It actually produces a very fair result. My second comment is, after the last Highlands Council meeting, I received legitimate feedback that my comment submission was not up to my usual standards, largely because it was rife with typos and lacked clarity in places. I will be submitting a corrected version and again ask all council members to complete the quiz. I will also ask Governor Murphy not to approve the minutes if the quiz is not included. This comment submission may also suffer from typos. My apologies.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? All right, seeing none. Winifred, what do you think?
Very interesting.
Okay. So you're a council member in training. We need a motion to adjourn.
Can we adjourn, if I may?
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank Drew Luffman. I wanted to thank Drew for all the help with landowner compensation. The folks on the audience is right, are correct in their complaints about lack of landowner compensation. One of the few things we do that, in my mind, is just is the open space program and the TDR purchases that we've done, and Drew's a big part of that. I just want to thank him for his work on that effort and wish him all the best.
Drew,
Drew,
yeah.
Drew,
yeah. Said, yeah, too bad he left.
I know he left.
Yeah.
We'll communicate that. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll play it for him.
You play it for him?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Do we need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Walton, seconded by Councilmember Francis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
I'm sure.
No.
It's over.